A really warm welcome to you. It's great to see you. Welcome to Welton Baptist Church, Carols by Candlelight 2019. We hope by the end of this evening you're going to be feeling super Christmassy. Are you feeling Christmassy already? It's growing a little bit. I thought it was never going to stop all of these guys coming in with their Chris Dingles. We're going to shuffle around a little bit. There are a few seats down at the front. You could probably steal a seat from the choir and they'd never know. You might just have to sit on one of their laps. But it really is great to see you. And we're going to get underway in just a moment. Before we do that, those of you that weren't here at 5 o'clock, you won't realise, but there's a whole bunch of younger guys that have been really industrious next door making Chris Dingles that you can see here at the front. And so that we thought that we would find out exactly what they've been up to and what is the meaning of these Chris Dingles. So I'm going to ask those of you guys, if you made a Chris Dingle, I'm going to ask you now what it means, what you've been doing. First of all, what have you been doing? Who was making Chris Dingles next door? Let's find out. Okay, Bella, tell us, what have you been doing for the last hour?
Making Chris Dingles.
Well, that's a good answer. That's clear. What does the Chris Dingle actually mean? Can you remember anything? I think they're explained in there. So you've got like an orange and a red ribbon and some sweets. Is that right? Can you tell us one of those, the meanings of one of those things?
The orange represents the world.
Okay, that's good. The orange represents the world. And I popped in and I think I heard you guys praying for Australia, which is a good thing to pray for. Thanks, Bella. Anybody else tell me what somebody that's been making a Chris Dingle, what do one of those things represent? Yeah, okay, over here at the back. What bit is it you're going to tell me? What have you made? Chris Dingles, that's absolutely right. Well done. Anybody want to tell me? Yeah, we've got somebody over here. Okay. So far we've got the orange, which represents the world. Okay, great. What are you going to tell me? What bit are you going to tell me about the Chris Dingle?
The ribbon.
Okay, and what does it represent?
The blood at Easter.
Okay, yeah, that's right. The kind of love and the blood of Jesus that he gave his life for us. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. What about the sweets? Does anybody remember what the sweets represent? Anybody that made a Chris Dingle tonight remember? Or did you just eat them? I'm sure there were more eaten than there were put on those Chris Dingles. They look a bit bare to me. Okay, what do you reckon? What do the sweets represent?
The food.
The food? They definitely represent food. They represent all the good things that God's given us. That's right. Last but not least, what about the candle? Do any of you guys that were making a Chris Dingle remember what the candle represents? One over here. Okay, yeah. Going to come through here. All right, so we've had the earth, we've had the ribbon, the love and the blood of Jesus, we've had the sweets, all the good things God gives us. What does the candle represent?
Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely right. It represents Jesus, the one whose birth we're celebrating here this evening. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have our first reading. And with each of the readings tonight, you're going to hear a little bit of somebody's story. Okay, so there's going to be a reading from the Bible, and then a little bit of somebody's story from their life. So let's just pray together. Lord, we thank you that it's such a precious time of year where we get to reflect on the love of God, Emmanuel, God with us. And we pray this evening that we would really see this message in a new way. Father, we pray as we listen to Bible readings and stories of people's lives, and as we sing out truth, we pray that the meaning of Christmas would sink into our hearts and minds in a new way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Going to ask Darren to come up now. Did you notice that we've got a real live baby here this evening who's been very well behaved? Probably a small round of applause for baby and Mary, mum. Thank you. All right, Darren is going to do the reading and a short testimony. Is your mum here or is it just you? Just you. You are so brave. They've done a runner, I reckon, your mum and dad, just in case. All right, here we go.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, and the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. We'll call him Emmanuel.
Okay, do you want to read your thing here? Is that okay?
I broke my arm and needed an operation to fix it, and the doctors told me my arm is better than they hoped it would be. And I know because We all prayed for it to get better, and God helped it.
Isn't that fantastic? Yeah, round of applause. We are going to stand together and sing our first carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent Angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man called Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this may be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." First of all, hello, my name's Mel. Nice to see you all. I'm going to give a brief testimony, and if you'll allow me to be a bit indulgent, I'm going to go back 12 years first of all, but I hope it will make sense. Just over 12 years ago, I became a mum for the first time, and I went to a mums and bumps group, and I hated it. It seemed to be filled with very serene, permanently smiling, matching outfitted people with their nails done, perfect makeup, and they had a very, very glowing outlook on all aspects of motherhood. I used to turn up late, dressed but not coordinated, and normally having forgotten some fairly major item. The bottle, the nappies, the baby. No, not the baby. Anyway, one of the girls at the group, who was lovely, kept banging on about another group. She said, "Oh, we'll go to this other group. You'll love it. They're really nice." She went on about it so much that in the end I thought, I'm going to go once to shut her up, and then I'll never go again. So I went to this second Mums and Bumps group, and I was greeted by a very lovely mum, who didn't just say hello and go on her way. She sat and chatted, and we got talking, and we were able to share the reality of being a mum and how sometimes that's quite difficult and sometimes it's quite lonely. And it was lovely for me to meet someone who I felt I could be real with. Anyway, turns out she was a Christian, and we became best buddies. And we still are best buddies. I'm waving to my best buddy now. And through her, I went on an Alpha course, which many years earlier I had rejected, and I became a Christian. The reason I'm sharing that with you is that if I'd had my way, if I'd been completely stubborn, I wouldn't have gone to that second Mums and Bumps group. And a little pattern in my behaviour over the years is sometimes I want to do what I want to do. And so this has been something that God has, in a very lovely way, been addressing with me again 12 years later. So I haven't been going to church for quite a long time, and that's been okay. In my eyes, I've been doing fine. I've been on my own for quite a few years. I don't say that in a sob story way. That's just how it's been. And part of that is you get used to doing everything for yourself. You get used to not asking for help. And what happened was, over time, I stopped asking for God's help as well. And you just lose that relationship a bit. So when my friend Margaret said that she was going back to church, I said, "Yep, that's great. I'm really happy for you. That's not for me." And thankfully, God is a very good God and a very patient one. And he quite quickly sent out a few messages suggesting that maybe I needed a bit of a rethink. So the first message was, I woke from a dream, and all I could remember from the dream was that God suggesting that I needed to allow people that he'd put in my life to help me, and that perhaps it would be a good idea to go back to church. The second thing that happened was that Margaret gave me a passage from the Bible that she felt was for me. And it was a lovely passage, and it was about allowing God into your life, allowing God to help you, and that God had great things for me. So I went to the 6 o'clock service at Welton Church, and I had a very friendly, lovely welcome. And blow me down if one of the songs that we sang referred to everything in my dream about looking to God and relying on God and that he's there to help you. And then the gentleman who was doing the main talk kept referring to the passage that my friend had given me to read. So I do think God was probably trying to tell me something. The other thing just to share with you very quickly is that we've joined a running group recently in a permanent effort to try and stop everything going south. And on this particular run, we're in the advanced beginners group. I'm definitely at the back of the advanced beginners group. And most of them were sprinting up Silver Street and having a conversation at the same time. I was near the back and I was feeling frustrated, thinking, oh, I'm at the back, I'm nearly last. And I felt God say to me, at the moment, this is a season for you being a beginner, and it's okay to be a beginner. And that really resonated with me, and it actually really helped me, because I've recently started back teaching again after a long time of absence. The technology has moved on. I hadn't. Luckily, the children and the very helpful staff help me out on a daily basis, so I'm kind of a beginner at that again. And I think God has really blessed me by enabling me to teach again and enabling me to teach alongside a very patient, very excellent teacher who is also a Christian. So we kind of have the same values. And I'm a beginner again with God to a degree. We're kind of refreshing the whole relationship, going back to church again, early stages, but all good so far. And I just really wanted to encourage all of you that I think what I've taken from preparing for this is that God wants to welcome us and takes us all wherever we are, whenever we're ready, however we're ready, whether we are wearing coordinated clothes or not. And I'm just very, very grateful for all the people I've had in my life and continue to have in my life who are helping me on my journey. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mel, for what a lovely, honest part of story, part of Mel's life. It's great to hear, isn't it? And I'm feeling good about my colour-coordinated black trousers and black jumper right now, but it's great. Thank you. Something just worth saying before we sing this next carol. We're all here in different places in our lives, in our relationship with God. And some, from the youngest person, maybe baby Jesus in the manger, right the way through to the oldest person, not looking at anybody in particular. I want to encourage you, wherever you're at, whatever stage you're at in your relationship with God, what Mal has said is completely true. There's a new beginning. There's a new way of starting with God. So I want to encourage you this evening just to reflect a little bit on where you're at in your relationship with God as we continue our worship. So we're going to sing the next carol, which is Away in a Manger. If you'd like to stand, that would be great. Okay, please take your seats. The next reading that we have and testimony isn't somebody live in the room. It's somebody who's not able to get to church in person anymore, so we went round and videoed them. This is Evelyn.
Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for him, for them in the inn. Although I'm here on my own most of the time, God is very gracious and close to me. On one occasion, I just got the front wheels of my chair out of the door and couldn't get back in. And so I asked God to send somebody to help me get back inside the house. And within moments, this lovely young lady came, and she came and helped me get the chair back in so that I was safe again. But it's very difficult if I do make that mistake, but God was so gracious.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring good news and will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and earth peace to those whom it favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. God's done a lot in my life in the last year. And for a start, it was the last sole survivor this year, and I'm fairly certain that my relationship with God has really strengthened, and since then I've felt close to God.
The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written."
But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so I may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Okay, I'm going to give a quick testimony now on how I became a Christian and what it means to me. And I've written it all down, and I'm going to force myself to stick to this because I've got a habit of going off on tangents. I gave Caroline, my partner, a couple of nights ago this testimony, and she was pointing her finger at me, losing her patience, saying, telling me it's not a sermon, Tom. It's a testimony, not a sermon. Okay. She was right, by the way. I became a Christian 4 months ago. That's back in August. just after one Sunday service at Welton, which was led that day by Matt Hebditch. That was on the 23rd of June. I just saw something that day and felt something that I knew I had to connect with. So I prayed and prayed for God to come into my life with a bit of barrier breaking, which was emotional, guidance from the church services and prayer. God came into my life. The only way to describe that moment would be a door being swung open and being filled and literally surrounded by an indescribable force of love and energy. From feeling really vulnerable from all the soul searching and self-analysis that I'd been going through, I felt stronger and better than I'd ever felt before. Better than I could have ever imagined feeling. I have a new love for life. I don't stress as much. I don't worry about things a fraction of how I used to. I'm more patient, less angry, 100 times more open and sociable. But literally, most importantly, I've got that joy in my heart that I'd never felt before. My sister came down to visit about a month ago and became a Christian 2 weeks later. exactly the same scenario as mine, feeling the Holy Spirit here in Welton Church. And then in her words, seeing and feeling and literally the love pouring off myself and Caroline. It was amazing. It was so encouraging to see how fast that happened to her. So it's literally, this penny had dropped for me in Midsummer Norton and was having that ripple effect. You could actually see God's love moving out and spreading. And now my daughter, Bella, has become a Christian as well. So she loves praying and was having a chat with Steve, that's Steve Bacharach, about that lovely feeling you get when you pray, like a shivering feeling. We had a family prayer the other day before church, and Bella was skipping around the kitchen and the conservatory, saying, "Man, that felt good." So those words, yeah, they've really stuck in our minds. Yes, God's done so, so, so much in the last 4 months for myself and my family. As Matt Coombs and Rachel Howe know from the Alpha Course, we've had so many good things happen. So yeah, it is now, and it's been an amazing journey with an amazing church and an amazing bunch of people. So I can testify that, God, you are amazing. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Good to hear, isn't it? Just want to mention, you probably picked this up already, but we are really passionate in this church about the love of God. It not just being a theory or even just a belief that we believe, but it being a real lived experience in our lives. I just want to encourage you again this evening, and you're going to hear this over and over again if you come to this church, just to be open to let God love you. It sounds simple, but actually it's the most profound thing any one of us from Bella's age and down and Bella's age and up. It's the most profound thing that we can do is to say, God, I'm here. Would you show me your love? We're going to stand and we're going to sing, and we've got a couple more carols to go, just two more to go. So this is the penultimate carol, We Three Kings. Let's stand together and sing.
Great. Oh, good. I'm glad you're not staying. Nothing personal. But it's that kind of somebody looking over your shoulder is a little... Yeah, great. Okay, well, I'm Matt. I co-lead the church with another Matt, so it's easy just to call everyone Matt. You're fine. And we spent a bit of time thinking what would be our theme over Christmas this year, and you'll see we've come up with Star of Wonder. So this year we can say it is the star which is the star. Yeah. Or you could even say it's a star... which is the star which leads us to the star. And that's another way, but let's not get too complicated with that, if you get what I mean. I wonder if you've ever thought much about the star. Was it actually a star, or was it something else maybe? Maybe a planetary conjunction, a comet, supernova, heliacal rising, double occultation, a royal celestial sign centered on the cycle of Mol.Babar, Jupiter or Regulus, or something to do with Venus? Huh? You'll be pleased to know I haven't got a clue. But if you really want to know more of that stuff, you can look it all up on Wikipedia. That's where I got it from. What we do know is that the star led people to find Jesus. And that I really do find interesting. In the carol, we sang about three kings. Now, I don't know how much you know about carols. Sometimes they stretch the truth a little bit. If you look at the Bible, they weren't actually three kings. They were probably astrologers from Persia or southern Arabia. And their religion or their faith would have been very different from that of the Jews that they were traveling to. But they knew about Jewish teaching. And that 700 years before Jesus was even born, a prophet called Micah had said, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Something prompted these three, we're going to call them wise men, these three wise men to journey to find Jesus. Their journey following the star made me think of three questions. So here's the first one for you. Are you aware you can look for Jesus? You see, something must have twigged for these wise men to go and look for Jesus. They weren't just wandering around aimlessly and happened to stumble across a random baby. Now in this room, we'll all be in different places on our journey toward Jesus. It could be you've never even contemplated looking for him. That could be for loads of reasons. Maybe you've only ever heard his name mentioned in passing. So why would you be looking for him? Perhaps your experience of Jesus is only what's being portrayed through the media, through TV. Or maybe a church experience is all you've experienced of Jesus. Tonight you've heard some really great stories from people who have looked for Jesus for themselves in the everyday stuff. And they found him to be real. Maybe there's something in this. Perhaps it is worth looking for Jesus. So that's my first question. Are you aware you can look for Jesus? My next question is, are you prepared to look for him? Think about this. The sign in the sky called for these wise men to prepare themselves for a trip of a lifetime. Educated men dropping everything to follow a star for hundreds of miles. These men believed so much in what they saw that they prepared themselves with expensive gifts to give to a king. The Bible says that when the star showed them where to find Jesus, they were overjoyed. That's a lovely thought. Sometimes we forget that actually finding Jesus brings amazing joy to people. We're not asked to go on a physical journey ourselves to find Jesus. There's no star in the east which we need to go and look out for. But are you prepared to perhaps take a step towards him, whatever that would be for you? Maybe it's a conversation with a friend who knows Jesus. Maybe it's finding out a little bit more. You've heard of it now, the Alpha Course. It's a brilliant way to ask all the questions you've ever wanted to. But you don't actually have to wait. It was great hearing Tom talking about coming to church and going away as a friend of Jesus. Tonight could be the night that you say to God, "I know that you love me. I know that you want to give me a new life with purpose and knowledge that you'll never leave me. To say I'm ready, prepared to ask you into my life." If that's you, I'd love to say a simple prayer with you when other people are tucking into their mince pies. You won't miss out on the mince pies. A prayer that simply says, "God, come into my life." For some of us, the journey we need to take might just be beginning to talk to God for the first time, talking honestly, praying. That brings me to my third and final question. Are we ready to worship him as we are? Having been led by the star to Jesus, the wise men could easily have been really disappointed. You see, it would have been against religious rules for Mary and Joseph to mix with people who weren't Jewish. Thankfully, they were still welcomed. A sign of the kind of rules that Jesus would challenge in years to come, welcoming everyone. It's worth thinking too that these men didn't have a book full of Jesus stories to think about. They simply came as they were to worship. Jesus had not done anything all that interesting yet, apart from the sort of interesting things that most small children do. Yet they came and they worshipped him as they were. I love this bit. You see, you don't need a degree in everything Jesus to worship him. Everyone is welcome. Come as you are. The carol We Three Kings is probably in my top three favourites at least. Partly, there's somebody at the back really helping with this one. Partly, perhaps mainly, because I love singing. Whoa! And we didn't really do that too well. We just did it, didn't we? I like, best experience was in a pub once, singing it. And these words are amazing. The last two verses capture brilliantly Jesus' love for us. One of the three gifts that was brought to Jesus was myrrh. Now, myrrh is an embalming resin to put on the body of someone who has died. The words of the carol say, "Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone-cold tomb." It would be a bit strange to finish a song celebrating the birth of Jesus thinking about his death. Thankfully, it's not left there. The final verse says, "Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Heaven sings, hallelujah, hallelujah, the earth replies." Hallelujah simply means praise God that Jesus was born for us. He died for us and he was brought back to life for us. That's something worth being aware of, being prepared to look into and ready to say thanks for. We've got one more reading this evening that tells us a bit more about Jesus, not only being a man, but Jesus being God. In this passage, it says that we have a right to be children of God. It's not just a possibility, or maybe if you're good enough, but you've got a right to be a child of God. I really want to encourage you as you listen to this final reading, be prepared to be led toward Jesus. There we
go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So my wee testimony, I'm Sarah, and I have two children, Poppy and Dara. We've had to move house every 2 years for the past 8 years, and we moved down from Scotland last year into what we thought was a long-term rental, but found out it was only going to be for 2 years again. It was at this time I started praying to God about our housing situation and raising our requirements of what we needed in a house. It says in Philippians 4 verse 19, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." So Poppy has cerebral palsy and short bowel syndrome and a few other issues. And on my many occasions talking to God, I asked if he could provide us with a forever home with the things that I needed, which is a wet room and help with the stairs. So I felt the nudge to kind of put our names down on the council list, and word came back that we had to wait 10 years minimum for a house. So I phoned and explained the situation, and they asked me to send in Poppy's paperwork, and 2 weeks later we were put in Group A, meaning that we could be housed immediately. So every week I had to go online and bid for a suitable property, but there was nothing appearing, and I was told if I didn't bid within 6 months I would be put back to the 10-year mark. So I phoned the council again, and the head of the department gave me her direct number and said, keep looking, I'll make sure you'll not be moved back and if a suitable property hasn't appeared, as your situation is quite unique. So don't worry and call me direct if you have any more concerns. So a few months later, two houses appeared online which were being built specifically for disabled families. I registered my interest, visited the site where they were being built and prayed with the kids and asking God for favour for us for one of these houses, as it would be ideal as they have a wet room and a lift. So months went past and I heard nothing, but I trusted in God because he's my father, and it says in Hosea 14 verse 3, for in you the fatherless find compassion. And I've always been without an earthly dad, so I hold tight to that verse as truth. So one day in October I got a phone call from the housing association who are building the houses saying they've allocated one house and I'm number 7 on the list for the second house. The man stated we needed an occupational report to be considered for the house and noticed that we didn't have one. So I explained that I had contacted the OT department, but they were so backlogged it could take months to get a report. So he said leave it with him and he would phone me back. So an hour later he said that he was on the case of the OT and to leave that with him as he'd make sure that an OT report would happen soon. He then said he was going to match us to the house and could we visit him the following week. So I asked the man, how have we gone from number 7 on the list within 2 hours later being top of the list? And his answer was, I wanted you for the house. So he'd never met us and we'd only have this one conversation, but I knew God had placed favour over our application to the extent that this man pursued us for the house, helped with the OT report, and he didn't know why, but he knew it was us that he wanted. So I didn't quite believe what I heard. So I went to the meeting with all the paperwork and he said the house is ours on the condition the OT report ties in with our needs and what the house can provide. So 2 weeks later, the OT lady came, did the report and left without letting me know any more information. A few days later, I had a meeting with someone who knows the OT lady, but this person was very negative about the situation, telling me don't count your chickens, and it really upset me. But I took that to God and asked for him to kind of sort this into a peaceful situation and to let me know so that I could settle my mind. Very next morning, I had a phone call from the man at the housing association saying that the OT had done a report and he didn't want to wait to tell me by letter. He wanted to let me know straight away, but they had approved us and the house was officially ours. I still waited and kept it quiet for a couple of weeks and waited until I received the full offer letter and asking us to accept the house. So I knew that God had his hand all over that situation with his favour. Matthew 6, 31 to 33 says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, and what will we wear? Your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I personally don't know any other way to live. Having no family around, I've learned to trust in God and all he says. For me, he's my father, he's my husband, he's my saviour. And while some people, not from this church, said that I will never get my own house with a wet room and a lift and I'm absolutely crazy, not for 1 minute did I ever doubt that God would provide for us, because he always does. He's my only hope in life. He's my true protector, a provider and a best friend. And we can't thank him enough for what he's done for us in this situation. He's given us a forever home that has a wet room and a lift and a beautiful newly built estate. And the extra he gave was on Poppy and Dara's wish list. They've always wanted to live on a brand new estate. And when we prayed all those months ago in the car, this is what they asked him for. And he heard them and he blessed them with a little desire that they had in their hearts. And that's love. He's gone above and beyond, just like he says in Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So we are so excited and incredibly thankful, and we move into our new house in May 2020.
Thank you.
It's good to hear, isn't it? God cares about every single part of our lives. God cares about every single part of your life because he loves us. It's as simple as that. The love of God extends into everything that we care about. We're going to sing one more carol, and I'm going to put in a request. We're going to see if we can really raise the roof with this carol. Is that okay? Let's stand together. We're going to sing, O Come, All You Faithful. Wonderful. Take your seats. We're going to finish in prayer. Just before we do that, a huge thank you to Capella and to Linda and to those who've read our readings tonight and given testimony. Maybe we could give them all a round of applause. Thank you. Just to give you a heads up, if you'd like to come out on Christmas morning, we're going to be down at Welton Chapel at 10:30 just for an hour. Christmas carols, some good fun, and we would love to see you. That's in a few days' time, obviously, 10:30 on Christmas morning. Last thing to say before I pray is that I'm going to ask those who've given a testimony tonight and a reading, if you would just come to the front at the end. And there's a reason for that, and also Matt, who spoke this evening, and myself. We're going to stick around just at the front here. And if you've come along this evening and something that you've heard has resonated with you, and you think, actually, I would love to have a chat with one of those people that have given a bit of testimony, or maybe you'd love to have somebody say a prayer with you. We would love to chat with you, and we would love to pray for you. So if you've given a testimony tonight, Matt, the other Matt and myself, we will be sticking around just down here for 10 or 15 minutes when we have tea, coffee, mince pies at the end. We would really love to chat with you and pray with you if you'd like us to. Okay, let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this incredible story that we've looked at again with fresh life this evening. The story of a God who so loves us, who so cares for us, that you came to earth, Emmanuel, God with us. You became human so that we could know and be known. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, the Spirit of God amongst us, and that you show us just how loved we are. And you invite us to live a life with you, not without you. And we pray this Christmas, we pray for ourselves and for those that we love, that we would find out more of what it means to live in relationship with God, with you in our lives rather than outside of our lives. And so we pray this evening that in these next few days, that even tonight, we would grow in our understanding and our experience of what it means to be loved by God, and then to love you back and to live our lives for you and with you, with purpose, with real hope, with meaning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last thank you is to you for coming. Thank you so much. It's been great to see you. We'd love to see you in the new year. Normally we're here on Sunday mornings. We're not going to be here on the 29th of December, but we will be back here on the 5th of January that morning. So if we don't see you on Christmas Day, we'd love to see you in January, 10:30, next year. Otherwise, do stick around. There's mince pies, tea and coffee over the corner. Don't rush away. And like I said, those who have given testimonies, just make your way down to the front. If you want to come and have a chat with one of those people, we would love to chat with you. And if you'd like us to pray with you, we'd love to do that too. Thanks for coming.